The letter to the Hebrews. We won't delay on this, of course, but this is how he became, as Paul says, like us in everything. You recall many of these texts from the Hebrews. It was appropriate that God should make perfect through suffering the leader who would lead them to their salvation, struggling through the desert. He himself has been through temptation. He's able to help others who are tempted. He's not incapable of feeling our weaknesses with us because he's been tempted in every way that we are, though he is without sin. During his life on earth, he offered up prayer and entreaty aloud and in silent tears to the one who had power to save him out of death. Although he was son, he learned to obey through suffering. And so back to Paul. This one whom he wants us to have a mind like him, who was in the morphe of God. He didn't grasp but equality of God. He emptied himself. He took the form of a slave, becoming human in every respect. And being, he says, as all men are. And he concludes this lovely hymn. Being as all men are, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And now the wisdom. That is why God raised him to a great height. And he gave him the name above every name. We've seen it. Lord. Yahweh. He gave him his own name because he's the perfect reflection of Yahweh. Gave it to him. He didn't have it before. But he gave it to him when he rose from the dead. So that all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the underworld should bend the knee at the name of Jesus and every tongue confess publicly that Jesus Christ is Lord, Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. The perfect reflection of God, the Redeemer God in flesh, as man, now given the very power and name of God so that he can effect in us that same image, that same life force that was meant when God said, let us make man in our own image. Now it's possible because one has been made in the image, the perfect image of God, and has been given by God the morphe of God in a way transcending anything else. And so he is able, raised to the right hand of God, to be the perfect reflection of God and effect in us this same image. Well, let us spend a little time now meditating on this beautiful, beautiful hymn of the early church. Speaking of the risen Christ, it might even be the loveliest hymn we've got in the early church about Jesus. Remembering its heart language, its poetry language, its feeling language, its reaching beyond reason into perhaps mystic sense, but the hymn says, Colossians 1:12, I thank the Father who has made it possible for you to join the saints, the holy ones, and with them to inherit the light. He has taken us out of the power of darkness and created a place for us in the kingdom of the Son that he loves. In him we gain our freedom, the forgiveness of our sins. And now the hymn. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, because in him were created all things. All things were created by him, for him. He is before all things, and all things are established in him. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the origin, the source, the firstborn from the dead, in order that in all things he may hold first place, because all the fullness was well pleased to make an abode in him, and to reconcile to himself all things through him, making peace through the blood of his cross. Through him whether things on earth or things in heaven. I feel terrible tearing poetry to bits, but I'm going to try and analyse it and then come back to it and look at it again in its fullness. Paul in the Colossians is one of the most interesting letters of the New Testament because it's a new development in the New Testament. It's not simply explaining Christianity in the light of Judaism, but Paul for the first time is coming into a new world with crazy movements, religious movements all over the place. Not unlike our own world, in a bit of a mess and people searching in millions of directions and a lot of half-light coming in, and they're claiming different groups, I could give you the evidence for all this, but I'll just state it quickly, different groups claiming that you've got to belong to us if you want to be part of this mystery. Different secret societies coming in from the East and everything, and worshipping angels and saying you've got to worship angels if you want to have the fullness of God. You've got to get into the, you know, the Ouija board or the satanic, demonic, it's all familiar to us. If you want to have real wisdom and real insight, you've got to get into all these astrologies and mysteries. All of that was going on around him. And Paul's key point to the Colossians is that all the fullness dwells in him. You don't need anything else, he says to them. All that God is, all that God wants man, woman to be, everything, the magnificent mystery of God is totally all in the exalted Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation, because he's the firstborn from the dead, the first one that creation in this great act of giving birth and groaning now finally has given birth to, the perfect image of God, the risen Christ. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the one from which all the life in this community, he says, which he's just said, I'm so pleased you people in Colossae have come to join with us in this communion, this kingdom of the God that the Son that he loves, this reign of God's love that's occurring in the church community. I'm so pleased you are, because he's the one from whom all the source of spirit and life is coming into the church. He's the one reconciling us all to himself now from his throne in heaven, as it were. He's the one through whom we're being reconciled. Dia plus the genitive. We belong to him because of this. But he says another few things that are new to us in this poem. It says, we've already seen all things were created by him. We noticed that in our text, didn't we, in 1 Corinthians 8:6. Now, Paul, or the author, presumably Paul, is going in every direction. He's saying, everything's created in him. Everything's created for him. That's the one that Romans used of God. Towards him. Stressing the fact that he's the goal of creation, this exalted Jesus. And we are in him, and in now always means place. There's the texts in their precision for you. In him is the locative case, the case that always indicates place. And en in Greek indicates in. So we're in relation to him, and he's like the one surrounding us. It's like the word being in love, you know, in a garden. Make your home in me. You're like you're in your mother when you're in a womb as a little baby, but you're still in her, as it were, as a young man, because hopefully she is the one who's surrounding you with love. That's the image. Surrounding you, creating an environment that protects and loves you till she dies and beyond. So we're in him. He is the one surrounding us with his breath and with his love and with his gifts and with his care and with his arms from the cross and so on. We are in him. We are by him. We've seen that already. The exemplary cause. He is from the beginning. He is, and now we come back to our point, he's like the blueprint. If God created us by him, looking at him, looking at like an architect or a builder is going to build a building, Well, then he's got the plans in front of him, and he builds according to the plan, which perfectly expresses on paper, as it were, what the builder is going to make. And when you finally build it, it's the exact statement of what you saw here. It's another way of saying, if you like, that in the mind of God, Jesus was there in his mind as a plan, as a goal, as the perfect statement of God's own wisdom. And God, in his creative action, that's poetry, of course, is making everything according to him, by him, as an exemplary cause, an example. And now, Paul adds, everything is for him, towards him, the goal, the final cause. The purpose of creation is to be in him. And he concludes his poem by saying, all things are reconciled through him. It's the same word as by, dia, again, through him. In other words, dependent on him. He is the instrumental cause now pouring out the Spirit from God. Now, in a way, that's a bit imperfect, naturally, doing such a beautiful hymn, trying to analyze it like that. But I hope, as you look at it again and put it together again, not quite so discursively, allow yourself to kind of look at it more as a poem. The other point that needs to be made is here. He says, he is before all things. And you might recall, I thought I had them with me, but I don't, some texts from the Book of Wisdom, where it says, in the beginning God created wisdom. Before all things, wisdom was there. And as I understand this poem in the mind of Paul, before, again, is like the blueprint. It's the first thing you have is the plan. Before you do anything else. The first thing is the perfect image of what you want to make. Jesus was the first in the mind of God. What theologians would call, and we'll have to say more about him, of course, in later lectures, but just in this particular poetry, it's kind of called eschatological pre-existence. The goal exists before you start building. It's the first thing you have, is the completed thing in your plans. Then you build, and then finally there it is. So he, as the exemplary cause, the model, the image, is there in the mind of God before creation, and everything has been made with a view to him. Jesus, the risen Christ. This poem, of course, is born of the experience of the church. And I might just play with you for a little while with a few texts from this same letter to the Colossians, where he goes on to say where we experience this wisdom of God now in our life, says Paul, is in the church. Paul is very insistent on the importance of the church. God is drawing all people to himself, but for Paul it's very important that people belong to the church. What happens if people don't belong to the church is a speculative problem that Paul's not the slightest bit interested in, a way. He knows that God's love reaches to the ends of the earth. But, you know, what happens if people don't listen to your beautiful record of Beethoven isn't your problem. You want everyone to listen to it because it's beautiful. What'll happen to people who don't see the best film that's ever come to Sydney is a theoretical question. What you want to do, if you've been to the film, is get everybody to go because of what'll happen when they do. What happens, Paul is saying, draw people into the church. Draw people into the body of Christ. Share it. Go to the ends of the world, making them disciples of Jesus because of the beauty of that experience for them. The rich glory of the mystery has been revealed. And this is why they can reflect back on Christ. It's Christ among you, your hope of glory. Christ in this community. You must live your whole life, says Paul, according to the Christ you've received. Jesus, the Lord, is the Christ we've received. You must be rooted in him and built on him and held firm by the faith that you've been taught. And your whole life is in the model of the exalted Jesus. in the same letter, he goes on, in his body lives the fullness of divinity, and in him too you'll find your fulfillment, Paul promises. Very modern phrase, very relevant. You find your fulfillment in him. He goes on to speak in chapter 2 of all the other religious movements that are around him and says they're all just pale reflections or distractions. What's real, he says, is Christ. He's the image of God. And he talks about their life. Now the life you have is hidden with Christ in God. But when Christ is revealed and he is your life, you will be revealed in all your glory with him. There is only Christ. He's everything. He's in everything. And this fulfillment of meaning in the exalted Jesus present in the church is another theme which Colossians goes on to speak about, this hymn that we've just looked at, where he says, for example, the Father has made it possible for you to join the saints, with them inherit the light. That's where we experience the risen Christ as God's wisdom. Because that is what he's done, says Paul. He's taken us out of the power of darkness and created a place for us in the kingdom of his Son that he loves. He holds all things in unity, and his body is the church. He is the head of the church, says Paul. In the same letter, Paul's suffering that he speaks about is for the sake of his body. And his body is not the whole world. Sometimes people speak of the letter to the Colossians as though it's about the cosmic Christ. It's not. The place where Christ is found is in the church, in his body, which is the church. Paul is the servant of the church. The mystery has been revealed to the saints. They've perceived the mystery. You've been buried with him, baptized, and in your baptism you'll be raised up with him through your belief in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And then Paul, in the same letter, goes on to speak how we live this wisdom that comes to us from the image of God. And we live it in really practical ways. A lovely text taken from the third chapter of the Colossians, and I'll conclude this little section with this. You are God's chosen race, his saints, he loves you. You should be clothed, and then he gives a list of wise ways of behaving that we can learn from Jesus. You should be clothed in sincere compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And where do we know that we're looking at Jesus as we look at all those virtues? Bear with one another. Forgive each other as soon as a quarrel begins. The Lord has forgiven you. Now you must do the same. And over all these, to keep them together and complete them, put on love. It's the only one that'll keep them where they should be. And he prays, may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, because it was for this that you were called together as parts of the one body, the church. Always be thankful. Let the message of Christ in all its richness find a home in you. Teach each other, advise each other in all wisdom. With gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and inspired songs to God. And never say or do anything except in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so just to complete that little hymn from the Colossians, Paul is looking at the exalted Jesus. He is seeing him as the goal of all creation, as the one who now reconciles us to himself and forgives our distractions, releases us from our distractions, who is the one who, in the mind of God, was there in creation, expressing perfectly the wisdom of God, and everything was created with a view to him. and everything now exists in him. And that is shown, that everything exists in him, here on earth, in this community which lives his values, shares his spirit, is forgiven through the reconciliation that comes from him, and the whole world is being drawn into that community, that body, that place where Jesus' spirit has effect and brings about the reign of God, and that body he calls the church. That's what the church is. Where its edges are is not up to us to be able to measure. But the purpose of it all is to draw the whole world into this body, this communion that we call the Catholic Church, the universal place in which we can all live according to the power and spirit and become images of the risen Christ, who is the perfect image.